If we just stopped using concrete and steel today and made every building for the next 30 years out of wood, would we have enough trees?
Welcome to Renewable Future from the renewable materials company Stora Enso.
So this question, are there enough trees? It's one that the team at Stora Enso get asked about a lot. Just a quick recap here now. Stora Enso is behind this podcast and they're a leading renewable materials company and one of the largest private forest owners in the world. So it's no real surprise that they get asked this question. If we were to replace everything that uses carbon-heavy raw materials with wood, will the trees run out? Well, if we're talking about everything, then yes, right now they would. But there are ways of thinking about how to prioritise every piece of wood through a type of hierarchy of needs. We'll get into that a little bit later. This podcast is going to focus on the construction sector. So if we looked just at buildings, would we have enough trees then?
Yes, but it depends.
That's Maximilian Pramreiter.
And I'm officially university assistant at the University of Natural Resources and Life Sciences in Vienna. And the institute is the Institute for Wood Technology and Renewable Resources.
So what does yes, but it depends really mean?
There are two things that we have to look at. The first will be in which region we want to shift. So should it be globally or just in Europe or in just one of the one possible country? Here I would say in Europe and Central Europe, yes, we can make this shift. Globally, we would have to look at on also the time frame where we want to achieve this shift and in which amount we want to achieve this shift from fossil-based materials to natural materials like wood. So in the long term, for example, if we want to change all of the new buildings that we probably have to build in the next 20, 30 years, we would definitely get a supply dilemma with wood for just building materials.
All the buildings for the next 20 to 30 years, how many buildings are we talking about? Well, right now, because of the growing rise in the world's population, we're building the equivalent to a city the size of Paris every week in the world. And we look set to keep on doing that for the next 30 years. So that means there's still a lot of new buildings that need to go up. Max Pramreiter says, on a global scale then, that's tricky to replace them all with wood, but he does refer to a study done in 2020 by Professor Galina Churkina. We tracked her down.
I'm a professor of urban ecosystem sciences at Berlin University of Technology.
She's done probably the most accurate calculation on this topic to date, and making calculations is right up her street. She's a mathematician, first and foremost.
It was fun for a while, but I was not really interested so much in the math per se. I was interested in describing different systems with math.
So she's used her mathematical background to calculate how many trees we would need to build at the current rates. She's broken it down into categories. So if 10% of all buildings in the future were built from wood, what would that mean for global wood supply? She's done the same calculation based on 50% of all buildings coming from wood and another one at 90%. Is there enough?
If we compare it with the current harvest rates of the and round wood production and potentially some of these scenarios where we build only 10 to 50% of the new buildings with timber could be actually met with this current harvesting rates of roundwood.
Okay.
In case we don't use as much of this roundwood as fuel, because currently 50% of the roundwood is actually used for fuel, so it's basically burned in the first years after the harvest. Even the 90% scenario can be met with sufficient wood. there are, of course, certain points that we have to keep in mind. And one of them is, of course, is reducing waste from construction. So right now, 50 to 75% of the harvested tree goes into the waste. It's not going into the boards, for instance. Of course, it would be helpful to think of reusable parts of buildings so that this wood can be reused as long as possible. And basically, that what it would mean in the long term, that this parts of the buildings, they could stay in the built environment and used for the new buildings. And that would actually also reduce the pressure on harvesting trees and on the number of trees that you need in the future to build the buildings.
So that's promising, but it means being more efficient with the wood and not using it as fuel. Now, Professor Cherkina mentioned that a lot of harvested wood is going to waste. That surprised me a bit, because I've spent some years doing this podcast with Stora Enso, and I know they're very keen on using every part of the tree.
I mean, if you look at a tree and you look at the stem and how you split it up, I mean, you start with the most valuable parts, and these are in the core.
That's Heinz Felder, Senior Vice President of Group Technology and Investments at Stora Enso.
But then you also check for quality, that there are no knots, good quality wood. And that is what you want to use then as construction wood, what you want to use then for furniture and others. Then the other parts, they are used for pulp production, out of which you make then paper, board, and other products. And only the remainder, that is being used then as energy wood. If you want to have a split, you can roughly say that we use about one third for wood products, one third for the pulp making, and the other third then goes to applications as an energy wood.
Is that the same across Europe in other players? I mean, that's the Stora Enso way of doing things. Is that the way for everyone?
Yeah, I would say unfortunately not. And I have also good reason for this, because we firmly believe in the cascading principle. That means wood is such a precious material that you should really use it first as a material and not burn it. Unfortunately, it is so. If you look at the overall wood balance in Europe, then half of it, imagine, Colm, half of it is being burnt. Wow. And one of the reasons is so that not in all parts of Europe you have our industry. You don't have always sawmills or pulp mills.
But now, I mean, obviously this is an issue, because how can that be changed? I mean, is there a way of changing that so that we get across to it being around a third as it is with Stora Enso then?
Yeah, of course, it's on the one end, it's a market economy. That means the price is somewhat dictating where the wood fibers are flowing. On the other hand, there is also possibilities which the European Union, for instance, in the EU member state areas is applying, is to make sure that it's an even level playing field. That means currently there are no longer any subsidies if you want to burn wood and just make electricity production.
But this has got to do with regulation on an EU level.
Exactly, yeah, which then needs to be translated country by country in the EU.
And then at the same time, you're battling this desire to move away from fossil fuels to renewable energy. So I guess people are also thinking they're doing the right thing if they're moving away from oil, for example, and then using biomass for energy. So there must be competition there also.
Absolutely, and that's what we see, that the prices for biofuels as being energy wood, they go up, they drive also then, because of scarcity reasons, then the price for pulpwood and even then for logs for the sawmills. That's how the competition plays out.
So Professor Cherkina is saying that we don't actually have to use new land to grow more forests, even within her 90% scenario. There's enough if we follow sustainable forestry methods. But there's a caveat, and it's based on that resource efficiency we just spoke to Heinz Felder about, making every use of every piece of wood that comes in. But even more can and should be done. Max Pramreiter.
So if we take a look on cross-laminated timber, for example, or glue-laminated timber, the current assumption is that from 1 cubic meter of round wood, only 50% end up in 1 cubic meter of cross-laminated timber or glue-laminated timber. And this is basically making a square-shaped product out of something round. So there's a mathematical limit that we can get out of one round wood, for example. And therefore, we have a certain maximum we can get out of a certain amount of round wood. Therefore, using different process technologies and different products like laminated veneer lumber, for example, or plywood, where the basic process is a different one, we could increase this resource efficiency, for example, to 70% roughly.
Right.
So therefore, we would need less raw material to gain the same amount of end product. However, there are certain things to consider on this side as well. One would be we have to think about the mechanical performance of both products. So is it also possible to be used in the same use cases or in the same building products? And the other thing is in the energy side of things. So this is just a rough assumption of comparing these processes regarding the energy demand, but sawmilling is rather energy low compared to veneer processes because we don't have to pre-treat the logs, for example.
Yep.
So there are certain things that need to be considered as well, besides the resource efficiency.
Okay. So the actual efficiency of the production of the wooden elements is also an issue then, if we were to resolve this.
Yes, definitely. I think it would be one of the easier approaches. Before we start harvesting additional amount and stuff like this, we could think about how we use the material we already have and already harvest more efficiently.
So making better use of the material is one thing, building more with less, as it were, and getting more building wood from every tree. The other side of the coin is what Heinz Felder talked about earlier, the cascading principle, prioritizing how the wood is used. Max Pramreiter explains in a little bit more detail.
The first area of application would be in long-term products, and these are usually building products. For the long-term products, we can consider everything that's used more than 60 years, roughly. On the second step, we would go to mid-term products. So this would be like facades or terraces. They have to be changed more often than the building itself. Okay, so this would be all non-load-bearing parts of a building. This would also include to a certain amount furniture. We could also consider using wood-based materials in high-performance applications like cars, trains, planes.
That's like the body of a car or the body of an airplane to be made out of wood is what you're suggesting, is it?
So yeah, there are certain projects which deal with the reintroduction of wood into high-performance areas like cars. And the goal here is to use it structurally as load-bearing part. We have the additional advantage of wood being usually lighter than other lightweight materials which are used in the mobility sector right now. So we have two advantages here. And then we come into a section that's shorter term, so everything around a year or two, and this would include textiles, for example. And then at the end of the hierarchy, I would see the energy use, because this is usually short term, below a year. Now, the argument could be, okay, we have material that can only be used for energy purposes because of quality of the raw material, but this would bring in totally different aspect that we consider upgrading other raw material assortments to higher use cases and bring it higher up in the hierarchy.
Yeah. Now, is there a way of making this actually happen? Because this is quite a shift in the way our society would even work if we start prioritizing a material like wood in this particular way and having some sort of mechanisms for reusing it in these different purposes.
For the building sector in Europe, for example, I mean, there are different numbers floating around on this, but right now the amount of wood used in construction is in the single digits percent-wise. So I think that here is a big way of improvement, but we need policymakers to drive this change as well. So it needs to include policymakers, it needs to include architects and designers, and it also needs to include landowners. For the policymakers, I think the important discussion and the important decision they need to do is to find a sustainable distribution of the raw materials. If it comes down to the basic decision for primary wood biomass, to use it either for energy purposes or for something with higher added value, the decision always should be for the higher added value. And if there is a problem with quality of the raw material, us as researchers or material scientists, or you can think about companies with technology development, it's their task to find solutions to this question, to develop material concepts for higher added value, also for low quality assortments. So this will be a big challenge, definitely, yeah.
Those solutions are being found. LVL was mentioned as one innovation, a very materials efficient solution. But even outside of wood construction, things are happening. Stora Enso's Heinz Felder explains what they're up to, because they're really innovating with every part of the tree.
So far, we have only talked about what you can do with the fibers in our wood. Yep. But if you look closely, wood contains much more. It contains also binders, what is called the lignin, and half sugars, that is called the hemicellulose. And lignin especially is a fantastic material, as we have discovered over the last 10 years. I mean, earlier we were always burning it. Of course, it's good. It's a green fuel. It has a very high heating content as coal. But then we discovered, what can you do? I mean, of course, the first one was to say, hey, binders, what about, can we replace phenolic resins? It means fossil binders in particle boards. And yes, it works. Huh? So you get also then other green products, which help further then to green the economy. But it goes further. Carbon fibers could be one option, green carbon fibers. And the latest one we're working on is then to make also lignode, which would be a green anode material for batteries out of lignin. So that would allow you then also to partially green the many batteries which will be used in electrical cars.
Back to construction then, and the main topic at hand, are there enough trees? If we succeeded in doing this, if 90% of our new buildings were made with wood, what sort of a benefit would that actually give us when it comes to carbon emissions? Professor Galina Cherkina, well, yes, she's calculated that too.
If we build this timber, then we kind of build up a new carbon sink that hasn't been there before. So we potentially have two benefits. We store carbon and build environment. And the second, we have forest regrowing and replenishing the carbon in the ecosystems that has been taken out and transported basically into the cities.
So how much carbon could we store if we shifted production to wood over the next 30 years then?
So we did the calculations basically using the population projections for the next 30 years and looking at different scenarios. If, for instance, 50% of these people would live in wood buildings, or if the 90%. And for the 50% scenario, we would get up to 11 gigatons of carbon. And if 90% of this new urban dwellers would move into the timber buildings, then it would be up to 20 gigatons of carbon.
To put that in perspective, the world emits 11 gigatons of carbon every year.
What is important here is, of course, that there is a large span of values for each of these scenarios. So, and it depends on how large the future space per capita will be.
Professor Cherkina's measurements were based on an average living space of about 40 to 45 square meters per person. Another factor they bore in mind was exactly how much wood was used in every building.
We didn't try to pack as much timber as possible in the building, so it's an intermediate scenario.
So, are there enough trees if we were to shift all production from traditional materials to wood today? Assuming we can get a bit more out of each piece of wood and get it into long-term usage like in building construction, but also that we're more efficient with the materials themselves. If we do that, then yes, and that's without growing more forests. And we also know that forest areas are actually growing, in Europe at least. Can we get the rest of the world to follow suit? If so, then a renewable future is within our grasp. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Renewable Future from the renewable materials company, Stora Enso.
We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for new programs or any comments you may have. Mail to podcast@storaenso.com.